Chapter 1. It'd been 13 days, 23 hours, and 55 minutes since the Hearth Motel had its last guest, and owner Simone Bristol was stressed. Probably not for the same reasons a typical motel proprietor would be, though. She was used to the long gaps between paying guests, and having a checking account stretched tighter than a guitar string was nothing new. There was always just enough money to keep the lights on at the half-century-old motor lodge, and a bit reserved to pay the satellite dish company, usually late, the water bill, and sundry other unavoidable expenses. There were newer motels on the strip of the North Carolina Outer Banks between Salvo and Rodanthe. Better motels. Simone's hopes and dreams were pinned on their competitive amenities. Well, those and the sky-high nightly rate she charged for a one-queen-bed unit. High prices usually meant the tourists stayed away. When they called to verify her online rates and balked after she confirmed them, she always had a good excuse. "It's Thanksgiving. Rooms are at a premium," she'd said to the last potential customer who'd phoned, along with a cheerful, "supply and demand, you know." She'd then suggested he try the big chain hotel in Nag's Head. He must have, because he didn't call back. She loved it when they didn't call back. All she needed was two piddling weeks without a guest, and she'd be free of the family curse once and for all. 5 more minutes, and she could flee. Bound to the motel with invisible chains, Simone couldn't go beyond 5 miles of it in any direction. It was her anvil, her albatross, her turn. But in 5 more minutes, the goddess Hestia could kiss her happy ass goodbye because Simone was going to be out like the satellite signal during a storm. She bobbed on the hard shell suitcase she perched on, clapping her hands with glee as car after car passed without stopping. "That's right, folks. Nothing to see here. Keep on trucking." The neon lights mounted on the motel's vacancy sign buzzed and crackled, and she rolled her eyes before pushing her sunglasses up her nose. There wasn't much sun to speak of. The late autumn sky had been overcast for weeks, and that certainly contributed to the motel's lack of patrons. Folks didn't care about beach views where there was no sun. A car slowed, and the woman in the passenger seat craned her head out the window, squinting. Whether her narrowed gaze was directed at Simone, straddling a suitcase as if it were a bronco in her faux fur short jacket and electric blue party dress, or at the rundown motel behind her, Simone couldn't tell. She didn't move, didn't wave, didn't shake her head, didn't peer at that car over the top of her sunglasses. She wasn't allowed to discourage potential guests. If she did, she'd be required to restart the clock. Or rather, the curse clock would restart itself and she'd continue to wake up every morning, hoping the last 6 years had just been one long, trippy, technicolor dream brought on by consuming too much MSG before bed or something. The woman in the car shook her head, and the driver accelerated down the sand-strewn road. "Cozumel, I'm gonna be in you by midnight tonight, baby," Simone said with a shimmy. She was going to spend every penny she had on cheap tequila and a room she wouldn't be responsible for cleaning. The neon crackled again, as if in chastisement, and she sighed and straightened her back. "How am I supposed to behave after all this time, huh?" she shouted at the sign. "I've been stuck here for 6 years because of someone else's mistake. How's that fair?" After several electric pops from the sign, the word vacancies V, the stem of the A, the N, and the second C went kaput, leaving a handful of letters that spelled out O-C-A-Y. "Okay? Okay, you're telling me? Okay what? That I can go? Or are you acquiescing for once that you're a petty bitch and this scheme has gone on way too long?" She put her hand to her ear and awaited the responding crackles.